I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone. It's me. It's Jen. I'm back with a brand new episode, and I just want to say thank you so much for sticking with me. I know I've been in and out the past couple of weeks, and I want to tell you guys why. I have some sad news. My very best friend from high school, and most likely the greatest friend I will ever have, Megan Meehan, passed away a little over a week ago. Like I've already said, Megan was the greatest friend I'll ever have. She was truly my ride or die. I love her. I miss her already. And I'm telling you guys, one, so you know where I've been, and two, because this whole podcast isn't just about how much I love Britney and learning about Britney, but it's really about the memories that we all make based on who our idols are and were. And every single memory that I have of Britney Spears in high school, Megan Meehan was by my side. And that's what I love most about all things in pop culture. It's like, where were you the first time you heard Baby One More Time? What do you remember about your first concert that you went to by yourself without your parents? What happened that night? Like, I want to hear those stories, and that's why I love asking my guests, even if Britney wasn't their particular idol, like, who's their Britney? And what do those people mean to them? And so this episode is definitely dedicated to the one I love, my sweet friend, Megan Meehan. And I'm really excited. I needed to sit down with a friend this week, and I got to do it with one of my closest friends, Lauren Miller Rogan. She was at my bachelorette party. I love her so much. And we talked about Britney's music video, I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman. And a couple of things. We also started to talk about Crossroads, obviously. This was from the soundtrack of that movie. And I had read a few different things about how Shonda Rhimes' script ended up with Britney. And did Britney develop the movie with Shonda, or did Shonda write it on spec? And here's what I found out, that yes, Shonda wrote this movie on spec, meaning she wrote this script, not for Britney. She just wrote it on her own. And then what happened was a producer ended up finding the script and taking it to Britney and her manager, Larry Rudolph. And how this whole thing came to be, this woman named Ann Carley, she worked for Jive Records. She left Jive Records to go and start her film career. She found this script and took it to Britney and Larry. Now, they were already developing a film project with MTV Films, and apparently it was going to be based on Alice in Wonderland, or Alice in Wonderland Deconstructed or Reimagined, if you will, and it was going to be starring Britney and I guess a lot of the guys from NSYNC, or maybe all of them. I would have loved to have seen that movie too. I would have gone to that. Wouldn't you guys have gone to that? I mean, come on, of course we would have. So apparently the movie was made for $10 million and it ended up grossing $61 million. So this was a great investment, and that investment was made by the founder of Jive Records, Clive Calder. He gave up the $10 million to make this movie happen. So Clive was all in on Britney. He knew that she was going to deliver, and she sure did. So one last thing I found, you guys, I have to share with you, that the director, Tamara Davis, she's directed Crossroads. She's gone on to do great things. But she said that Britney only ate two things while filming this movie, and that was tuna Lunchables and edamame. I love that. I love it all. I just had to share it with you guys. At the end of this episode, I am playing a rendition of Oops, I Did It Again, and it is sung by my two very good friends, again, just surrounding myself with loved ones this week, Anna O'Reilly and Nadia Quinn. Anna and Nadia met while working on a musical in New York City. It was produced by the Roundabout Theater Company. So we're talking like real theater, like real deal theater. These two gals are the real deal. And they met on Robber Bridegroom. And you guys, if you're into musical theater, even just a little bit, or even not at all, give Robber Bridegroom a listen. They are so amazing. My sweet friend Anna sings one song that really gets to me every single time. So go and check that out if you like. But they are singing Oops, I Did It Again at the end of this episode. All right, my friends, I hope you're with your friends. Get out there, live life, put on a Britney song. You know, Megan made me a CD for my 22nd birthday. She came out to LA to visit me. And the very last song on this mix CD that she made me was Email My Heart. And, you know, Email My Heart, you guys. I love you all so much. Thank you for listening. Meg, this one's for you.
Hello and welcome to We Need to Talk About Britney, the podcast dedicated to people who need to talk about Britney Spears. I am here today with a friend who is a woman, and we are going to talk about Britney's music video, Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman. I'm here with actress, writer, and director, Lauren Miller Rogan.
Oh my God.
Hello, Lauren,
hello.
You're here.
I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Please. No, we just
long time listener. First time guest.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. And you can be a guest anytime.
Oh my God.
I'm really happy that we're making it happen finally.
So fun.
Now, Lauren, we just watched Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman.
Yes.
The 2001 Britney Spears music video off of her album Britney.
Yes.
And you are the perfect person to have on to discuss this for a number of reasons, but one is that you have been to the location that this video was shot.
Yes,
in.
It's so, Lake Powell in Utah, and I went just this past summer for vacation with my husband. And you're gonna post these side by side photos because we have been there where she was singing.
As we were watching the video, Lauren started pulling up pictures of her own from her own visit, and. And it's identical, and it's hilarious because it's you and your husband on top of the same cliff that Britney is standing on.
We mountain biked along those cliffs, and then the next day we went in a boat in the water, which is, it's heaven. It looks like Mars there. It totally looks like another world. Like, it's not, because there's no trees. It's just rock and sky and this bright teal blue water. And I'm like, it's just really breathtaking and like nothing I've ever seen on earth before. But we like mountain biked there in July, and it was like 4,000 degrees, and we were over the bikes and the rock. But then you get to the spot, basically. I mean, I don't know exactly where she was standing in that video, but
sure.
I mean, pretty close. And we were there.
Now, we will post these side by side photos. You were very close to the exact location of where Britney was standing,
yes,
for sure. And I mean, I do think it's very hilarious, and we're going to post these on Instagram. But it is very hilarious to share with the audience that your husband is Seth Rogen.
Yes.
Because that adds an element.
Yes.
Just as you're listening to picture, yes, like Seth in a very similar, yes, position as Brittany.
As Brittany, but not a girl nor a woman.
No, so. No. He's got his own thing going on.
Yes.
So I can't wait to share
these. I'm excited for everyone to see them. Oh, I can't. Well, honestly, well, I'll be completely honest. I had not watched the video before. And obviously,
really?
I knew the song, but I hadn't. Yeah, we'll get into sort of my history with Brittany, I'm sure. But like, I just hadn't seen the video. And so then when I put it on last night, I literally was like, oh, yeah, come look at the, oh, my God, we were here. And he was like, oh, yeah, remember they talked about when we were here, she shot this video here. But I.
Oh, it's part of the grand tour.
It's part of the grand tour.
She made it famous.
Of course,
dare
she
I
did.
Say, Brittany. I mean, is responsible for all, well, because this area has become quite a hot spot on Instagram.
Yes. Well, there's a hotel that is about half an hour, 45 minutes from there.
The Amangiri.
Amangiri. That is a beautiful, architecturally magnificent hotel that is lovely and wonderful. And if, you know, you're fortunate, you
very
can spend some time
natural,
there.
Very natural, simplistic.
Oh, so simple.
Made for Kanye and Kim. Like, that is their aesthetic.
Yes. I think that he went there and recorded something.
Oh,
because he's also part of the tour. The Kanye stayed here.
Kanye, I want Kanye to be a part of every tour in my life.
Right.
I do.
I mean, sometimes he can take a tour. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I don't want to go on the Kanye tour.
Yeah. You need yeah, a pause. Also, what's jumping out at me when you said that it feels like Mars.
Mm-hmm.
I have a theory that Brittany's an alien.
Oh, interesting.
So that's, you know, that's just interesting to me that it kind of seems like it's another planet.
What, tell me more about this theory. Why, what are the things that make you think this?
Okay. Well, one, there's lots of tiny, like weird, sounds throughout her entire catalog of music, mm-hmm, that seem very alien to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then she has, throughout her music video history, we've got some alien stuff going on.
Oh.
We got it. We've got it in Oops, and mm-hmm, we've got it. And then also, okay, so we've got it in Oops, and then in a few other places. Well, I'll get right to it. Then she ended up writing in Pretty Girls, which is a later music video with Brittany and Iggy Azalea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've got another alien moment there. I mean, the whole thing is that Iggy Azalea is an alien, and she comes down at the end of the music video. Brittany looks up, and the aliens are coming to pick up Iggy, and Brittany looks up and starts clapping her hands like, ew, I'm going to get to go with her. And it's really cute and fun.
Interesting.
And then Brittany wrote a song on her album, Brittany Jean, and it was entitled Alien. And Brittany loved that song, and she really wanted it to be one of the singles off of that album.
Really?
And then
she has a connection.
She has a connection. And then she really wanted it to be a part of her Vegas show, the piece of me show.
But the one, like, that we saw.
The one that we saw, because, uh-huh, then I got a revamp.
Mm-hmm.
But in that one, she wanted to do it. And I remember watching the documentary that they were doing of, you know, behind the scenes, getting ready for that. And she really was begging her manager, Larry Rudolph, like, I want to perform this. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, maybe. But then someone called the hotline and they told me that eventually Brittany did sing Alien.
Ah.
And he's got video clip of it. And he offered to send it my way.
Hi, Jen. My name is Trevor. I just got finished listening to your latest podcast on Brittany Jean. And I actually live in Vegas and I worked VIP at Britney's show for the first like year and a half that it was open. And at the end of your last episode, you had said that you were sad she never got to do Alien in her show, but she actually did do Alien when I was working there for like six or seven shows. Instead of Perfume, she did Alien. I actually have a recording of it on my phone if you want to see it. She pretty much just stood there and sang the song. But yeah, I just wanted to let you know that she actually did get to perform Alien a few times in the show. Anyways, love your podcast. Bye.
She just feels otherworldly.
So
interesting.
I think, right.
I support it.
Okay, great,
I
great,
support
great.
Because that's why I'm here.
Now, Lauren, what is your relationship with Brittany?
My relationship with Brittany is because she came, you know, she came to our minds when we were in high school, I guess. And I was, well, first of all, I was never that cool when it came to music. And so, like, my parents were really big into, like, oldies. So I listened to, like, the oldies station. And, like, and so I was really into, like, 60s and 70s, which in now is cool, but in high school, not so cool. And I was also really into Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so he's the one that I saw 6 or 7 times in concert. And so Britney Spears was sort of this, like, trendy, like, sexy person that I just was like, I don't need that in my life, and I don't need that. And I remember a guy friend of mine had a poster of her on the back of his door. I want to say she was wearing, like, jean shorts and, like, a tummy top that showed her boobs. And I was just
all of,
like,
this sounds right.
And of course, you know, as at the time a girl, I was like, who is this girl that thinks she's all sexy with her flat tummy that I'm jealous of? And because I was jealous then too of flat tummies, and just sort of just wasn't, I just wasn't swept away by her, but I was a cheerleader. And so,
and a gymnast,
and so I could certainly get into her music.
Common with Britney.
Well, so I could get into her music, but her whole thing, I was at the time not into. Sort of the.
Were your friends?
And no, it was. She wasn't a big deal, and it's funny because, you know, we were. I grew up in Lakeland, Florida, which is an hour from Orlando, and so we got actually in my. Cheerleading gift bag from cheerleading camp one summer before they came out, we had, like, singles from, like, NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and probably her too, because they, you know, were going local first. And I guess I just wasn't, I was, like, too cool for her. She, even though, like, I feel like in theory in high school she was cooler than I was, I felt like I was doing that, like, but I'm into art and, like, Dave Matthews and, like, oldies and, like, I'm just and really into, like, Barbara Streisand. And, you know, I listened to a lot of Barbara Streisand. And, like,
well, I know how you feel know. About her.
I mean, so, you know, she is my Britney. Barbara is my Britney. You know,
I always want to know if any, like, who your Britney is.
It's Barbara. It's Barbara all the way. It's always been Barbara. I saw Funny Girl when I was, I don't know, 3 or 4 years old, and I would go around the house singing the songs, having no idea what they meant. I invited her to my bat mitzvah.
In what form? How did we get a message out?
Sent a letter, or my invitation to her fan club.
Great move.
No response. I had before written letters to the fan club and got autographed photos back, but no response to the...
How many invitations to bat mitzvahs do you think Barbara has received?
Oh, God. I mean,
you can't be the first.
No, gosh, no. You know, in Judaism, you count by, like, 18s. It's called chai. She's received millions of chai, I would bet.
And then you finally did get to meet Barbara.
Oh, my God. We both met her.
Now, what? Yeah, well, yes, I did get to meet Barbara. I got to, so Seth made a movie with Barbara, and I got to participate, and I played a hotel check-in gal.
Amazing.
And I got to check Barbara and Seth into the Caesar's Palace, and Seth was so nice. Seth was like, have you met Barbara yet? And I was like, no. And he was like, I'll introduce you. And I was like, dear God, thank you. So Seth was like, this is Jen. And I was like, oh, nice to meet you. And she's like, she makes lots of, like, little noises, which is very, it was very satisfying. Mm-hmm. And then she's, you know, being Barbara and doing her thing. Mm-hmm. And then we do a few takes and it's very quiet. And the guy behind me that had the boom, he was like, you can talk to her. She's like so sweet. She's like, actually, she loves it. If you love her, you can tell her that you love her.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. Am I going to do this? Mm-hmm. So then finally, it's very quiet and it's just us. And she's, you know, I'm on one side of the counter. She's on the other.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't believe I'm here. This is so exciting. You're such a hero of mine. I love you so much. And she was like, oh. Mm. And then she looks at me and she says, so do you work here?
No. I don't know if I've ever heard this story.
No, really?
I don't think so.
And I was like,
maybe at the time I didn't. I forgot.
I was like, no. And also, what was strange to me is that this is Barbara Streisand, who not only is a a movie star, right, but directs movies.
Right.
And I'm like, rarely. I mean, I'm sure occasionally someone who actually has that job, if you're shooting on location or whatever, you can hire them.
Sure.
To be in this movie. And it's not like, I mean, it was not, you know, I checked them in. Right. That's the scene.
Right.
But I'm like, they don't just let...
No, that's not how, it's not really how
it works.
People
who work at the hotel then be in the movie.
No, it's not quite how it works.
So it was very, it was like shocking. But I was like, no, I am an actor.
It must have been, I mean, because you were so believable in your role.
Thank you, Lauren.
I mean,
for that is really what it
was. You really, she was like, there's no way this girl lives in Los Angeles as an actor. She must live her life behind this desk.
But so, I mean, I love Barbara Streisand, but she is not, you know, it's not my Britney.
Right.
So when you met her, mm-hmm. what's it like to meet your heroes?
I could not have been more nervous. So, so Seth got the script and he was like, I don't know, it's maybe not my type of movie and I'm not sure. And I was like, you have to do it. You have to do it. You must 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 do it. And it was such a tremendous script written by Dan Fogelman and
the creator of This Is Us.
The creator of This Is Us. And so obviously such a talented writer. And so the script was so beautiful. And so he couldn't resist the idea. And of course, it wasn't just me, his mom and any sort of human being in his life who has ears, who loves Barbara, you know, was like, you must do this. And so they met and it was, you know, I want to say they had dinner with like a group of people from the movie at first. And I feel like she was like feeding him and like throughout the shoot, she would like feed him. But then eventually I, you know, came to set to meet her. And I honestly, like, it was such an important thing to me to not freak her out about my lifelong love for her. So I never told her that I invited her to my bat mitzvah. And of course, this was before our wedding, but you know, remember I walked down the aisle to Don't Rain on My Parade.
Sure do.
It's the name of my corporation. Like, it is the theme of my life is Don't Rain on My Parade. Like, it really is. And I've like adopted it because it's been so much a part of my life. And so I always played it real cool around her and was never wanted to like show my hand of insanity because I didn't want to freak her out because we were spending a fair amount of time together while he was shooting this movie because, of course, I came to set as much as I possibly could. And then near the end of shooting or after they wrapped, I can't quite remember, she was like, come. Well, there were a few times where she was like, come watch a movie with us on Saturday night. And so we went to...
Because this is her thing, right?
Every Saturday night, she and a couple other like fancy schmance people like get all the movies that come out in Hollywood over the weekend. And this was years ago. I don't know if they're still doing this. But they sit on Saturday and they watch every single movie that comes out over the weekend. And they have food and they're in someone's home theater. And so we went with her to this big fancy house in Malibu. And
where she has the mall.
Well, this is not her house. This was someone else's house. Mm-hmm. And we went and we watched... I can't remember, but literally, like, at one point after dinner, she took me by the hand and she brought me down to the theater. And, like, I am, like, peeing in my pants. And, like, she has no idea what this means to me. No idea. So then we watched the movie. And at one point, and everyone's, you know, their age. And so at one point, literally, it's like midnight. And Seth and I are watching whatever movie it was. And all these fancy pants people are kind of behind us, passed out.
Asleep.
Just heads back, mouths open. And we're like, is this real life right now? How is this happening? And then a few weeks later, she invited us over to her house, which was the night before my 30th birthday. And I was like, I'm going to Barbara Streisand's house for my 30th birthday. Like, this is, you know, literally a lifelong dream come true. Like, it really was huge. And I got the tour of the place. And she has in her basement, if you haven't seen, just look at her book of her home. It's worth it. It's outrageous and amazing and incredible and insane. And then she has this like secret closet that you don't know is even there. It's like two walls open from each other. And it's where she has all of her, like, I call them my emotional clothes, where like it's like it's just certain things, something, an outfit I wore in For a Good Time Call, and like just a few little, like the last sweater that my mom ever got me, and like a few things that are like really important emotionally. So she has this whole closet. The first shoes she wore for the first time she sang in public. She has the dress she wore when she met the Queen of England. And then in the corner she has, and was always my dream you know, because I was a canny one to make movies, was like, when I win an Oscar, I'm going to wear the dress that Barbara wears in Funny Girl, that's silver with the silver train when Nicky Arnstein proposes, when they're on the boat and he does the poker thing and then she throws the money in the air. And I walked in and that dress is there, like on a mannequin. And I like got emotional, literally, because I've just always had this like fantasy of this dress and this thing. And everyone else is sort of talking. And I was just like staring at it, facing the other way, wiping tears out of my eyes because I didn't want her to see. And then I saw the dress that she sings when she, that she wears when she sings People, but it was a different color. And I was like, Barbara, this is the dress that you wear when you sing People, but it's a different color. Oh, and then it was clear. And she was like, oh, good catch. This is from the Broadway show, not the movie. And I was like, must stop here before I let it all tumble out. And that was all I sort of let show, was that I knew that stuff. So,
and you know, Barbara, from what I've heard, loves when people pay attention to detail.
Oh, yes.
So I'm sure that it didn't even click to her that you're a super fan. It's just like, oh, I like that you noticed that, Lauren.
No, it, yeah.
That is a, it's what you're describing is a dream.
It really was. It meant so much to me to this day that I have this memory. Like, I think of so many little things from that tour. I remember there was a photo of her first dog that the crew of Funny Girl gave to her. And I remember, like, we passed it and she was like, oh, this was my first dog that the crew of Funny Girl gave to me as a gift. And she paused and she looked at it lovingly and she said, ugh, that dog was the love of my life. And you know, I have a dog who's the love of my life. And I always think about, like, that was her soul dog. Yes. And like Zelda is my soul dog. And like, just, it was such a beautiful insight to my hero, to her life.
I'm just picturing if I got to go on a journey similar to this with Britney.
What do you think is in Britney's house?
Well, we know there's lots of tiny furniture that I'm not sure if it's for her dogs or for her dolls.
Okay.
Or for her phone. Like, I don't know. But there's lots of very tiny furniture. Like miniature furniture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a weird a bed in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tiny you know, one of those leather reclining chairs in her living room. Okay, so, and there's lots of also tiny rugs. There isn't just like one long runner in her hallway. It's like a series of all tiny rugs.
Yeah,
and then there's just a lot of twinkle lights.
Oh.
And it doesn't matter the season.
I mean, look.
There's a reason for the season. It's just like,
I love a twinkle light.
No reason.
I think they set a mood. And, you know, I think Britney is someone who is, as you always say, which I think is so, such a really smart observation of her. She's so in touch with her body. So I think she's very sensual. And I imagine that twinkle lights really add to this mood that she is in, this sort of like where she feels.
Candles. You know, scarves over lamps, maybe. I feel like if not now, I feel like she's going to get into that.
Right, right.
And so I think, are you finding
what?
Jeffrey is pulling this up? Oh, is this her home?
Oh, is this her home?
Now that's beautiful.
Oh my.
Is it?
What kind of snacks are in those cabinets?
Is this her home? This home looks too neutral of a palette. She's got dark colors in her house.
I tell you, I'd be disappointed if I went into Britney's house and this was it, because this is a beautiful home.
Jeffrey, I don't trust this. This isn't even from any pictures. Where is
2018?
I feel like she bought it. She moved all that stuff out and moved in dark brown furniture.
Maybe everything's with some like leopard print couches.
Yes, and like everything's like a cognac color,
like a velvet.
Yeah, and like touches of gold.
Mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes. So I'm curious. That's an interesting.
Please find us the house we're looking for.
Yes. Images of Britney in her house or from Instagram. We can pull some up. But I would just love to go to Britney's house. I picture our time together would be a package of, you know, online shopping that she's done has arrived. And we're ripping open the plastic together, laying out the dresses. And I sit on her bed.
Yes.
We make some tea. Tea comes in. We're just sipping on tea. And then Britney is got, you know, no shoes on, no socks. And she's just changing in front. We're girlfriends having, and she's like trying on the dresses. Similar to when Carrie in Sex and the City in the movie, is she going to move?
It's
and then she starts,
closet.
Yeah, and she does the fashion show. Mm-hmm. But it's just me.
Right. Just you.
And she is Carrie Bradshaw, and she's trying on all this stuff.
Are you trying on clothes too?
No.
Oh, okay. You're just...
I'm totally saying, like, keep it, get rid of it.
Got it.
Or, like, you know, this is great, send it back.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then she does her, you know, the fashion show. Mm-hmm. And we film one for Instagram.
Right.
And then it's like, let's work out. And then we, like, head to the gym.
Uh-huh.
We work out together. And then we come back and we just, like, put on cozies.
Uh-huh.
And we make some popcorn. And we watch For a Good Time Call.
Oh, my God. If she watched that movie, oh, I would just.
Now, Lauren, you have worked with Justin Long. You know, yes. Justin Long. And he is in Crossroads.
He's so adorable.
Did you ever get any intel from him? Did any Britney talk ever come up?
Well, you know, so here I'm going to confess. So I had not ever seen Crossroads.
Have you still?
And I watched it.
Oh, you did
last night and this morning because I wanted to be able to talk about it because I did not realize this is what I'm saying. I really was too cool for school. I was too cool for Britney. Now I'm not. Obviously, I love her. And honestly, since this podcast, I will say she's come back into my life in a big way and has a big role on my workout soundtrack.
Because yes. Well, there's no one better to work out to than Britney.
I mean, so anyway, so. Yes, when I saw it, I was like, look at baby Justin Long. And so the answer is no, sadly, I didn't because it just never came up. But he is adorable and sweet.
If
and,
you run yeah. into him, or maybe I could get a line out to him. Yeah, mm-hmm. I could reach out and just to talk about that moment.
I'm sure he would. Oh, and he's just the funniest human. And so I'm sure he has some funny things to say. The thing that I thought was so funny about that scene, if mm-hmm. I could just jump to talking about that.
I wanted to ask about that.
So it was so funny. It was so funny because the movie is not terrible, but it's terrible, but it's good.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Now, Shonda, you know Shonda Rhimes wrote this movie.
I always knew that Shonda had written it and was always just like, so it must be. My issue is that Britney, who also was fantastic in it, I thought she was a really good actor.
Britney is a good actor.
She's a good actor.
Anyone who says otherwise.
They haven't seen that movie.
Yes.
Like
She really. In her early episodes of, well, because she only did SNL in her early years, she's fantastic on SNL. Anytime she was on SNL, all of the, when she did Will and Grace, and then even all the way up to she was on Jane the Virgin, she did an episode and she was great.
I mean, she was great. But my issue was that she was really miscast. And so the thing was that, like, she's supposed to be like the nerdy valedictorian. And then, you
she's
know, and she.
So hot, and there's no hiding it.
No. And so she and Justin Long go up to this bedroom to do it for the first time, and she, like, flashes him. And first of all, she's wearing super sexy, like, pink bra underpants, and, like,
and everything maybe is so tight and so firm. Which, yes, in high school, are we tight and firm? The tightest and firmest we'll ever be?
Yes.
Yes. But not, like, not a pop star. We don't look like pop stars.
No, no. And I will say my friend Blair from high school, who is a stunning woman and was a stunning girl and was the salutatorian, I want to say, was really hot, I would say. And she didn't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, mm-hmm. And so I was like, let's be real. And so that was my issue was like, oh, she knows she's too sexy for this role. And Justin Long couldn't have been more adorable because could you imagine if you were the nerdy guy who was friends with a nerdy girl and she looked like that? And then the other thing that struck me was how that scene could never exist today because he's just begging and begging and begging and begging. And she's like, I don't know. And of course they don't. But that was an interesting.
I think I read this somewhere that Britney originally wanted to play the role of, I believe, Taryn Manning's character.
Oh.
And then her people thought it was too risque.
Oh, that would have been great. Although yes. I love her.
Yeah.
I mean, and Zoe Saldana. I mean, so.
I mean, such an amazing cast.
Dan Aykroyd
as her father, Kim Cattrall as her mom.
I thought it was funny. To me, I thought Dan Aykroyd is sort of reprising his role from My Girl.
Yes.
Wasn't that like a funny choice? I mean, and he should play dad because he's the best dad. He's great. But
and this
funny.
Movie was originally called Not a Girl. And so then when the song was written for the movie, Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman,
mm-hmm.
that's how that kind of came to be.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously it was well written. It was a good movie, but not a good movie.
And I also heard
like
that
Not a Girl,
it was,
Not Yet a Woman.
that Shonda, that it was a little bit darker.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've read two conflicting things. One, that this was that Shonda had written the script. The script existed in the world before Britney was ever even mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And that it was much darker and it was like an indie gritty kind of script. Mm-hmm. And but even though, it, you know, it's high school girls on a road trip, blah, blah,
right.
blah. And then when Britney got involved and then she originally wanted this role, then she switched and mm-hmm. then it kind of got lighter and fluffier.
Right.
Because that is the thing that makes it bad, is that the tonally you're like, we're dealing with teenage pregnancy and like some violence and some mm-hmm. and then her mom walked out on her. But oof, yet it's like very.
But they're singing Shania Twain while they're driving in the car. The best thing about me at home is the prerogative to have a little fun. Oh, 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 they're totally crazy. Look at them, a lady. Men shirt, short skirts. Oh, oh, really
go. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yes. Yeah. But what is interesting is that that is kind of teenage life. Like I look yeah. back, there were things that were very dark in high school, but because you're not yet a woman, mm-hmm. you're just like, well, you're, it's like, you know, if you're either having sex way before you're really ready, but mm-hmm. then it's like, well, I guess you learn from living life mm-hmm. kind of a thing. But it's just like, you know, very dark things would go on in high school, but you just start singing NSYNC.
Yeah.
Bye, 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 and Shania Twain in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they, like, pick up a strange guy. I mean, the whole thing.
I mean.
So tonally, it's just, it couldn't get darker. But then the other thing that I had read was that then Britney was like, I had an idea for a movie and Shonda helped me figure it out.
Oh.
But I'm like, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. Who knows? We'll never know.
We'll never
maybe
know.
Maybe we'll never. Maybe
we
we'll
don't.
Know.
Maybe we don't need to.
Maybe Shonda should come do this podcast.
If Shonda Rhimes.
Shonda, I know you're listening. Come do this podcast.
And I love Shonda Rhimes. I love all Shondaland. And oh, so when yeah. I put this together a few years ago, when I really got into Scandal, I was like, what? This is the same woman? This is Shonda?
Oh, well, I remember this way back when Grey's Anatomy started, because I, you know, was wanting to be a writer at that point, writing, and no one was buying anything, and being like, oh, she wrote this, like, tweeny movie. I don't even know if that was a word then, but it was like I felt too old to watch it, and mm-hmm. like and because again, too cool, and like, and then she made this show that everyone is respecting, and I was like, oh, maybe I can do that and that, and like, oh, it can work. You make this movie that maybe is not so great, but then you get a TV show, and I was like, oh, cool. And so like I knew from the very beginning, because I was diehard Grays from the beginning.
Yes, no, I know. Mm-hmm. And you were like determined to get on that show.
Oh my
right?
God, I auditioned for it 6-7 times. I don't know. And then it finally happened. Yeah.
Wait, what was your role in?
Well, I played the mom of a 15-year-old, which, you know, and this was a handful. I at the time, I think, was 34 when I shot it. And so, but the story was that I was 15 when I had her. Mm. And so I was supposed to be 30. But because a lot of my friends didn't watch the whole episode, they just fast forwarded through my scenes, and you got my backstory in a scene that I wasn't in. And so people watched it, and I got all these messages. Why are you playing the mom of a 15-year-old? Which is funny. But I cried on Grey's Anatomy. And, you know, maybe not the same as meeting Barbara, but other lifelong dream.
Absolutely.
I sobbed on Grey's Anatomy. I mean, I did it.
Now, Lauren, I'm looking up the box office of Crossroads.
Oh, tell me, what is it?
Yeah, because you've got a little, you understand this better than I do.
Should I guess?
Okay, well, yeah.
What year? What year did it come out?
This came out in 2002.
Oh, God. So I was in film school then. So I definitely didn't see it because I was really cool. I was at the height of my coolness,
If you're in film school, you're definitely not going to see Crossroads.
I'm going to guess that it opened to, in 2002, to $8
million. Oh, Lauren. No. Crossroads plays second, grossing 14.
It did? Wow.
But here's what stood out to me. The film grossed $5.2 million opening day.
Oh, well, because there were people like you taking the train from your small castle to go see it or wherever you did.
Lauren, you are a listener.
I have not missed an episode.
I chartered a van. I was in the Netherlands semester abroad, and I chartered a van to pick myself up and any other willing participants to drive us to the next local village that had an actual movie theater playing Crossroads.
I love it.
And watched it with Dutch subtitles playing at the bottom. But, okay, so yeah, it made 5.2 opening day.
Wow.
But then it dropped 52%.
Mm-hmm. Because all the diehards went right away.
And then also, I'm sure then word got out that it wasn't so great. And then it's like, I'm not going to go see it.
Right. It made $37 million. You know, honestly, and because how much could it have cost? Not that much, I imagine. A success, I would guess this was a financial success.
It says it was.
Yeah.
And 14%. 61 Yikes. Worldwide.
61 worldwide. This had to have been a huge success.
Wait, Lauren, what did you just say yikes to?
14%. Although, critics.
Is this on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah. But what do they know?
What do they know? I'm over nothing. Rotten Tomatoes. I'm over people talking about Rotten Tomatoes as if it is something that you need to know about.
I just don't report
Rotten Tomatoes to me.
I just think I want to listen to reviews of things from people who have similar opinions as me. So I don't need this 14%, I imagine, came from a large percentage of white 60-year-old men.
Mm-hmm.
So is their review of Crossroads valid? No. Had they asked 20-year-old Jennifer Zabrowski in wherever you were?
Yes.
Where were you?
Upstate New York, Amsterdam, New York.
No. But where were you?
In the Netherlands.
In the Netherlands, yes. Had they done it? You know, like you would have given it.
Because it wasn't the experience of it.
Exactly.
To enjoy something.
So, yeah.
Screw these Rotten Tomatoes. I thought that was I wanted to look at that box office and hear your thoughts on that. So yeah, financial success.
I would say if we went on Box Office Mojo, they'd probably say how much it cost, but it doesn't matter. It was a success. Congratulations, Crossroads.
You did it. So this music video was directed by Wayne Isham, and he also directed Britney in Piece of Me.
Oh.
So that was during, you know, Blackout, which she wasn't really doing a lot. So I love that they were like, not yet a girl, not yet a woman. Okay, you know what? All right. Wayne understands the journey. Now she's a woman and things are falling apart. We're going to bring her back for Peace and Me. You know what I mean? That's like kind of how I'm making sense of this. Here's what I love about Wayne. Wayne directed a ton of music videos. He went to UCSB and he directed Black Cat for Janet Jackson.
Oh.
That's when I got on board with Wayne.
Wow. He's done a lot.
He has done so much. Like that,
he's
like,
an icon.
He's totally an icon. And, okay, so Britney's made 38 music videos.
What? Wow.
Yes. 38.
Makes me feel lazy.
I mean, come on, Britney. Mm. Just like, I need a new one. Mm-hmm. I need a new one. Mm-hmm. What? Let's go. If we can't have your new show, just make a music video.
Right.
That we can handle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not to pressure her. I like that she's setting boundaries for herself, especially while her father is not doing well.
Yes.
So, you know, it's like important. That. But a music video, I think that could be a fun project for her.
Could be a good outlet. You know, maybe she writes a song about her dad. I don't know.
Yes, writes a song about her dad. I like that.
Maybe.
And out of the 38 music videos, you know, not too many are without dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was like, this is my favorite of the non-dancing ones. Now, this could be wrong, but here's what I, at a glance, I'm like, okay, these are the ones that also don't have any dancing. Lucky, Every Time, Bottom of My Broken Heart, Someday, which is about her children. And she was pregnant when she filmed that. And then Don't Let Me Be the Last to Know, Criminal, and Perfume. There might be a few others, but mm-hmm. out of 38, you know, that's not that many.
Yeah.
Without dancing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we like to see Britney moving.
Yeah.
But there's something about this, of seeing Britney in this environment that is makes me feel alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like mm-hmm. I'm with this. And I liked this music video when it did come out.
Yeah.
So she's up on top of these cliffs.
Yeah. She's on the edge.
She is on the edge,
mm-hmm.
and she is not attached to anything.
So when my husband and I were watching this, we were like, "Did they? She had to have been on wires."
No.
Like, it seems insane they let her be where she was.
Insane, because also, don't you need to get insurance for some, if you're Britney Spears?
Yeah, and they also didn't have drones back then. And so some of these shots, we were like, how the making, helicopters?
Yes, wait, Lauren, like, look, the making of the music video.
Oh, I should have watched this.
Now, even here, I'll just show you this piece.
Yeah!
Beautiful. I didn't know they were going to do it. It was really close. And I started screaming. I was like, ah!
That shot was everything I imagined it to be. And she stepped up into it. Do you need a harness or anything? No, she's ready to rock on it.
All right.
Let's go.
That was awesome. Look, the bravest girl on earth right now, walking out there. She's literally on what we call the razor's edge right now. Helicopter's gonna wrap around inside there. And she's sitting there. This isn't blue screen. This is reality right here.
There, you can see that there's a helicopter that is just going around.
Yeah.
Which also would create a lot of
wind. And
look at the a lot of wind.
Honestly, like, as someone who stood essentially there, I would have been terrified to see her standing there. Like, there's rocks. What if she just
she's 19 or slipped in her little boots or 20 here.
She's pretty slight. She weighs nothing. Like,
but also just again, the look insurance that it's Britney Spears.
Look at her. She is an alien. She's a special human.
She
look at her. No one looks like that.
No one looks like that. Mm-mm. And also she's just chomping on that gum and she's mm-hmm. like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna get on that mountain. Look at she doesn't even
look at her. Oh my god, she really
So this is where she walks out and then she's gonna uh-huh. unclip herself. So they wrapped her onto a cable.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets out there and then she's going to unhook herself.
Holy moly.
And pass it back.
Oh, just also, be careful.
I mean, do we not?
Whoa.
And that swinging around? Because what if that fell and then she can't run or duck or roll because she'll roll off the side of the cliff?
Wow.
She's brave.
She is real brave.
Fearless.
She is really brave.
And she's doing this without Xanax. And we also wonder why she had a breakdown. I mean, we were like, you know, get on the edge of this mountain, you know, go.
Sing your heart out. When I was researching this, I wonder if it's here. There's a live version of this song that she sings. And she really sings it. I recorded it on my phone. And you really hear her voice.
She has a beautiful voice.
She has
a
beautiful voice. And I was... It made me really think about her and perhaps her connection to this song because, and I don't, you know, I didn't watch her whole concert or whatever, but the fact that she chose when you, and I'll just pull it up because I recorded. Can I play it?
Yes. Yeah. If you hold it up to the microphone too.
Oh, but I turned my volume down. And like, if you watch her. Like, she's really singing. And I think she's, like, really... Like, I don't know. I was just like, oh, this.
Yeah, she's.
I wish that you heard her voice more. And so in, I, of course, looked at the comments of for these things. And like, you know, someone was like, do a full album with her deep voice, just ballads. That would be so amazing and something new. And I agree with that person.
Yes, a stripped.
She's never done that, right?
No. No.
Why do you think that is?
I think because she is such a dancer. She's she's a performer first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I think this would be such a different direction for her.
Yeah.
And it's like baby needs to dance.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Baby's got to move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But she also is an amazing singer. And part of her, what makes her an amazing performer is that she can sing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I had learned from your podcast was her past, that she was on Broadway. And I knew that she was on the Mickey Mouse Club. A girl from my high school was on the Mickey Mouse Club with her.
Oh, really?
She was older than, she was a senior when I was a freshman, so I didn't know her that well. Actually, her cousin is the one with the Britney poster. That's funny. I never, but anyway, but so I never talked to her about it. But, you know, but of course she has those roots, but she's so, and I guess she's just gone down such a path. I wonder, but I guess she doesn't, does she ever on her Instagram, is that ever just her just singing?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Hmm.
On her birthday, we talk about this often, is that her boyfriend, Sam, he recorded her, and because it was her dream. She said she'd always wanted to put on a little black dress and sing a song, and she sings the top of her lungs a cappella in her living room, and he does a 360 shot of her.
Oh, I'll have to go back and watch it.
And it also tells you a lot just from watching that about their relationship. But then Britney got really mad at the press and people who were saying that she doesn't sing at all in her Vegas show.
Mm.
And so she got really mad about it, and she sang Let's Give Him Something to Talk About.
Oh.
And she sang it live.
Uh-huh.
And she was great.
Oh, at the show.
At the show.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, now, Lauren, you came to my bachelorette.
Yes.
And
we had such a time.
Want a piece of me. You want a piece of me. It's been media karma. Another day, another drama. Guess I can't see the harm in working and being a mom. And with a kid on my arm, I'm still an exception. And you want a piece of me. I want everyone to know this. That I am truly lucky, because there is no one you want on your bachelorette team. Or like getting married, having you in if you're getting married and you can have Emma, if anyone's lucky enough to have you in their life.
Aww.
Like, well, it's just like you love love.
I do.
You
I love love.
I'll never forget. We were in the back of an Uber, and we had had some drinks, and I had recently gotten engaged, and I was like, you were like, Jen, you're getting married. And I just remember we were both like holding hands and we were just like so excited.
I feel it's the luckiest part of my life is my marriage. And I, you know, it's the easiest and luckiest and best and hardest, and it's all the things. And so I just, whether you're married or not, I think it's so fortunate if you found someone who you connect with in that way.
And I believe Brittany has found this in Sam.
But oh, good.
I do. I really
She deserves it. She's been through it.
She has really been through it. But when anyway, we went to this bachelorette, but you really like set this up. You were like on with my sister really in the planning. And I had no idea that I was going to get to meet Brittany. And that's when I got to do the meet and greet and go backstage. But we went to the show, and it was just such an experience.
Well, it was just so fortunate because our good friend Tom is good friends with her manager. And so I was like, we're going to this thing. My friend is, you know, Brittany's number one. And what can we do to make it a little extra special? And God, and he gave us those great seats, and
we really had great seats. We were on like the couch and free to dance, and I fell flat on my face. I don't know if you saw this moment. This is really the hardest I've ever even laughed at myself. Like, it was just, I was jumping up and like going so crazy at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And a group of guys came down to say great performance to me.
Not
to toot my own horn, but I really went for it.
There was a lot of camaraderie in the audience, which was amazing, because there were a lot of people who were dressed up, and it was. Because you're not there if you're not a fan. And like, and also her catalog, this was the thing that blew me away that night, was like, her catalog of music is so incredible. Song after song, hit after hit, was like, I love this song, I love this song, I love this song. And so by the time it ended, we were on such a high that, like, and I remember being in the lobby and everyone was like, oh, it's my song. Everyone, you were taking pictures with people. Like, I mean,
yes. Yeah. I almost forgot that part because I had, had too much champagne. But I was, as I was jumping, I hit the side of the couch and it took me out from my knees, but forward. And I went flying down and then I just bounced back up and my friend Chelsea Marini looked at me and we were just dying laughing. Oh, it was the absolute best.
It really was. It was a great show. I if she does another one, I would go again because it was entertaining.
Just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
This also in this music video, this is the best I think her abs have ever looked, even maybe next to Slave. But I mean, this is all in that group. This is this album.
Yeah.
But she's just so flat.
Yeah.
And just a moment for that.
Yeah.
I just feel like.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. And I'll say this. I'll add that I was at the MTV Awards for the Gimme More performance.
I was going to ask because Seth had once told me that he was there.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know if you were also there.
I was there. And
didn't you guys have a weird moment with Common?
Well, it's a funny moment, which was that I was sitting next to him all night and was chatting with him all night. And again, not cool, Lauren. So afterwards, Seth was like, do you know who you were sitting next to? And I was like, no, he was lovely, though. I remember his first start off was like, so where are you from? And I was like, oh, what a lovely gentleman. So handsome. And we literally chatted for like the 2 hours or however long those shows are. And for the time that he was there, because I'm sure he got up and performed or something. But and afterwards, he told me that he's like a really big, you know, rapper, hip hop performer, actor. And I was like, oh, and this was, when was this, 2005?
2007.
Seven. So this was before he really was like more of a household name. And so then literally like after that, I started seeing him everywhere. And I was like, oh my God, I'm such a loser. I didn't know who he was. But now I know. But that performance, I remember because we thought we were going to see this Britney because everyone, and yeah, obviously she had been through it and we knew she had been through it. But there was a feeling in that room live of, oh, it's different now.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I was also at our table was the cast of The Hills.
Oh, so, wow.
I know.
Well, and you know, that show, that 2007 Video Music Awards, if you watch clips from that, the cast of The Hills ended up presenting an award, and I can't remember what the category was, but Justin Timberlake ended up winning.
Oh.
And Justin got up to accept it and was such a dick. He got up and he took the award from the cast of The Hills and then said, and it's also just, it shows, it's like, oh, Justin, you really lost this battle. But he was like, MTV, play more videos. We don't want to see reality shows.
Oh, boy.
And they're standing right there.
Right.
And he wouldn't, as he took the award from them, he wouldn't look at them. And I'm like, fuck you.
Right.
Also now, it's just so funny and how embarrassing for you, Justin.
Right.
Because it's all reality now. And he was just being mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just, because also, they're young people.
Right.
Who just found themselves in this position.
Yeah.
You were a young person trying to make your way. I just think when I watched that, I was like, wow, that really struck me as nasty, nasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Are you open to sharing?
On him? I don't really.
Never met him. People listen to the things you say. See, I can just say whatever I want. No one cares.
Never met him. I mean, I think the funniest thing is that, well, I always, every once in a while, people will tell me that I look a little bit like Jessica Biel. And
well, I feel like didn't Seth once post the funniest thing in the world?
Yeah, he stole from me. This happens a lot where I like send him something that's funny and then he posts it saying it was his. So he got all this attention for making this funny comparison that that me and him look like Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake because like when Justin's got the beard and he wears the glasses and the hat and they sort of dress similarly or whatever. And there's a handful of photos where we're like in similar positions and it's quite funny.
Oh my gosh.
And so that is my husband stealing from me. But, you know, I, again, sort of just like I've enjoyed his music. I don't think he was super cool with the Janet Jackson thing. Mm-hmm. And that sort of
Thank you, Lauren.
Frustrated me a little bit because I'm not sure that was handled with equality. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that breakups are hard and we don't really know what happened between them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. And you can read all these things. And I can tell you that I don't really want anything to do with any of my exes. And maybe if one of them was having a really hard time and they needed, but the truth is they all had people and they have people in their lives and they don't need me. And so and who knows, like maybe if, what if he had reached out and made it worse? Like maybe he knew that it could have been worse. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Hearing that because I am the type of person, I'm friends with many of my exes.
Right.
And
whereas I am not.
Yeah. So, but, I understand both sides of it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I think that, you know, and certainly most people don't give a shit about my relationship, but the few people that do, sometimes it's kind of like, you don't actually know reality at all. Mm-hmm. And people, I think, can put a lot of their own judgments because you want to make up this whole glamorous, crazy story or whatever. But like, she's a girl from Louisiana, as you said, who should have her own dance studio. And I love that idea for her. And he's a boy from wherever he's from who like spent time in Orlando and tried to become a pop star and he did it and now is doing his own thing. And like, I think that friends should be there for each other, but sometimes relationships end for a reason. Yeah. And we never really know the ins and outs of other people's relationships.
Just so well said, my friend.
That's what I will say about that.
Lauren, any closing thoughts on Brittany?
Oh, gosh. Closing thoughts on Brittany are. This is what I was going to say. I love Brittany and I love her music and it makes me feel really good and I think that's really great. But the thing that I love about this podcast and I love about you and I love about anyone who has someone that they love who is their hero is that it gives them inspiration. And it gives them time for a break from their mundane lives. And Brittany has brought a lot of joy to people's lives. And to celebrate her and talk about her and to care about her, like, she's really lucky to have such a devoted fan base. And yes, people say things and people can be mean and whatever, but I feel that she knows what an extraordinary life she lives and how fortunate she is. And I think that, you know, it's just up to her fans to keep on loving her and supporting her as you do and all the people who listen to this podcast do, because these are the people who bring us joy to our lives. And she has been given a gift to be in that position. And I think it's reciprocal. And so if she puts it out there, we should try to enjoy it. And yeah, just be nice to Brittany because she's been nice to us.
I love that, Lauren. Yeah. I think you're so right. And also, lately, I've been trying to learn more about Brittany mm-hmm. because I realized as I started doing this, I was like, I actually don't know a lot of the, you know, a lot of the bullet points. Mm-hmm. But what I know is how she makes me feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so special. And that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I'm trying to do is all, and then ask other people who, you know, Barbara is that for mm-hmm. you.
She is.
Gaga is that for Jeffrey.
Oh, that's...
Jeffrey's wearing Gaga Lady shirt. Gaga, oh God, Tony Bennett tee. Oh, God,
look at that. Tony, and she's wearing this wig that is bigger than both her and Tony Bennett together. And it's incredible.
So it's just, yeah, how do these people make us feel? And what do they mean to us mm-hmm. on this journey of life that we're all on?
Mm-hmm. It's hard enough and to hold these little special relationships close and to honor them and to celebrate them and to put on Brittany because she gives you energy. Like, that's amazing. We should lean into that stuff.
Lauren, what songs are on your Brittany workout playlist?
Oh, I mean, the hits, like the Baby One More Time. Oh, God, what are the all the hits? Literally, like I could pull them up. Like,
I still pull them up.
Stronger. Oh, Stronger is definitely a good one. What are like the
Give Me More
is a good one.
You Better Work, Bitch.
Better Work, Bitch. Oh, that's a big one. Yes. Yes. I always like, because I run to intervals and like I'm always like, God, I hope I can time it to like a good, and that song is really good to run to. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Last thing I'll say is that I've been thinking about Brittany's new show. And I know that this is not the direction that they are going to go in when this show does happen. However, I have an idea for the show. Like, if I were to direct this show.
As you should.
And I think it is a high school reunion. And it is Britney's 20-year high school reunion because it's the 20-year anniversary of Baby One More Time.
I love this so much.
And so it starts where it's, we're not going to rip off Beyonce Coachella bleachers, but there is an element of, I mean, it needs to feel like high school.
Right.
Also, you know, she's from the South, so like big, like a football type thing theme. But for this, for not a girl, not yet a woman, I think this is Britney comes out. It's just her on stage, no one else. And behind her on the screen is a through the years of Britney. And it's like she's looking through a yearbook. Like, I see this as a musical almost. Like, I feel like it's very, we need a storyline, which she's done in some of her previous tours where it's more, you know, that was the Onyx Hotel tour. And that, you know, different rooms in the hotel and different things that were happening. So for this, it's all about, it's her high school reunion.
I think this is a fantastic idea. You should write this up and send this along.
And so we see baby Britney just like blossoming. And then even like the tougher moments. So it's almost like looking through a photo album or the yearbook, you know, with your friends. And she, so that's that for me.
I think this sounds really smart. I say write it up, do some boards, send it over.
And then also, I'll just because I just want to share this one. So then for Toxic, that, or no. For Oops, I Did It Again. Anna, so Anna O'Reilly and Nadia, they had sent me a song of them singing Oops, I Did It Again with just the two of them and Nadia's ukulele. And as I was hearing it, I was like, oh my God, Oops, I Did It Again. Hearing it like this, this is a story of a toxic female friendship. And this one friend is very manipulative. And I could like see this whole thing. And it was like, Oops, I Did It Again. I made you believe that, you know, we're
more interesting.
Yes. And so maybe I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it on the podcast because I have the recording of this. And so also I think that that could be part of the high school reunion.
I kind of love the idea. Is Britney like, is Britney maybe like, she's like the narrator and she's kind of just standing, singing all these songs while like performers are performing behind like the stories of them.
Yes. Yes. No, listen, I know that they're going to go for a sexier. We're in Vegas. We don't want a musical, but I do.
But maybe Britney wants to get back to her roots. Maybe Natalie Portman will understudy for her, right? Was that what it was? Yes, or they were, they shared the role?
Yes.
But why not?
Why not?
Why not? I think it should be, I think that the mystery that I would love to know about Britney is how much she controls what she does. And I for one, have seen little things where I've watched her documentary and I just want to see the Britney version, the whole thing, Britney.
Just Britney,
whatever she wants. Britney. Yeah,
Lauren, maybe you can confirm or deny this. But I need to ask Seth if you don't know the answer. So there was a rumor that Britney was maybe going to be in Disaster Artist as Lisa, and that they were talking to Britney, and it got pretty far along, and then she backed out last minute. You don't think so?
That's the role that Ari played, right?
Yes.
I don't think that's true. I unfortunately think that rumor is false.
Really?
I don't know. I just know that early on, Franco one time was like, God, I would love Ari Grainer, who was in your movie, to play that role.
Okay.
And it could have been earlier than that.
Could we ask, will you let me, if
I'm going to ask,
if you don't, then before, you know, before I see Seth next.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I would love to know if that's true. Because I also, I love that. And that made a lot of sense to me. And I'm like, oh, that could have been a great way for Britney to sink her teeth into something, but totally just her being her. And when I heard it, it made sense to me. I'm like, oh, I could see Franco being into something like that.
Oh, 100% he would be, because he's, you know, wants to make all the coolest choices ever, and he does. But,
and that would have been a very cool choice. To me, that would have been the coolest choice he would have ever made. But I mean, Ari is amazing.
Ari's a dream.
Yeah,
Ari's a dream.
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let us know if you find
out. All right, I'll find out.
Lauren Miller Rogan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It was a true honor.
Bye. Yeah.
see my problem is this. I'm dreaming away, wishing that heroes, they truly exist. I cry watching the days. Can't you see I'm a fool in so many ways? Cause to lose all my senses, that is just so typically me. Oh, baby, baby, oops, I did it again. I played with your heart, got lost in the game. Oh, baby, baby, oops, you think I'm in love, that I'm sent from.
On a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.